This, the Herons are back.
Welcome everybody to episode number 172 of the Battered Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me is always Mr. KBD. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I mean, they got part of the bet right. So Cynical Tube hit 50% of his bet. Still white, but I got the sleeve action going on, so.
There you go. Now the real question is, are you wearing sleeves on Saturday?
Oof, we'll have to see. We'll have to see.
Oh, okay. That's the money line right there. That's what we're talking about. All right, so we weren't on here yesterday because, honestly, there wasn't too much to talk about. And we also wanted to give it a chance to watch the Heat game because I know everybody was into the short playoff run that's going to be very short now that Jimmy Butler's out. And if you're interested in hearing about that, we'll be going live at 10 o'clock on the Battered Heat Fans podcast to talk about last night's game and tomorrow's winner go home against the Bulls, but that is a different sport. We are here to talk Inter Miami. We're playing against our rivals, Nashville SC, and I'm kind of excited to finally get the ball rolling with the season. I've gotten so accustomed to seeing Wednesday games that it feels like it's been forever since we watched the Inter Miami play. Anything that you want to touch on before we bring on our special guest, Uncle Matt, to talk about Nashville?
I just think at this point, one thing I guess I wanted to mention that we didn't mention on the last episode is, like, at this point, there's no excuse. Everybody's got to play every minute.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
It's absolutely unacceptable. Awesome. Unless there's, like, injuries, mm-hmm. Everybody's playing. Everybody's got to be playing.
That's it. We have, like, one Wednesday game in the next month, which is against Orlando. I think it's, like, May 15th or something like that. Outside of that, it's just Saturdays, 7 days of rest in between games, 6 days, I guess. So, I agree. Up until Copa America, when I know, like, a bunch of players are going to be leaving, everybody should be playing. We're all in on winning all our games, no rotation. And, I mean, I'm hearing Ian Frey might be around the corner. Leo Campana has been training on the side. So, exciting time. So, let's see how this goes. But, if you have nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. Like, everybody's got to play aside from, like, big injuries or, like, I don't know, international duty or whatever the case is. I don't believe that we should be having anyone sit for precautionary reasons. Like, it's legitimately all in on the MLS season.
That's it. And we talked about the whole Tata thing on – I guess we could touch on that 1 second. Very small sample size. Yeah, that's horrible. Very small sample size, but we put up the poll, Tata in, Tata out, and it was basically 50-50. Yeah, it was 50-50. It was tight. It ended up being, I think it was like 49 or 48% Tata out, 51-52% Tata in. So, like I said, small sample size, but the fan base is split. But let's see. We got, like I said, Nashville coming on, and whenever Nashville is around – we go ahead and we have our special guest, Mr. Uncle Mad, joining us. And how are you doing, sir?
Doing pretty good. Can't complain.
That's phenomenal.
Looking forward to another showdown with Miami.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I feel like we play each other all the time. And we got another game in like a month or two. Like in June, we play again.
Yeah. So, yeah. Right around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. So it's fun times. And I mean, I guess let's get into it. Well, before we do, I know we have a couple wrestling fans out there. Just quick recap. What do you think WrestleMania 40? Was it the greatest WrestleMania of all time?
I don't know if it was the best, like, top-to-bottom WrestleMania of all time. Like, Night 2 was definitely better than Night 1. But, I mean, the two main events were as good as anything that's ever been on WrestleMania. It's like, it was kind of like, I kind of was talking to a buddy of mine on, like, the build-up to the show, and I was almost like, I think they knew they had such good stuff with the two main events and the two nights that they just almost like forgot to kind of build out the rest of the show a little bit. Cause some of the undercard stuff was just kind of didn't feel like WrestleMania level. Like there was some good stuff there, like Sammy and Gunther and like the Rhea Ripley match with Becky. There's some good stuff on there, but there was definitely a lot of like, oh, we almost forgot to make all the other matches. Cause we had The Rock and he was running around doing his thing, but those two matches probably, you know, overcame it all. But I still like 17 is pretty good one back in the day. 17. Yeah, 19 is pretty good. I like 30 when Daniel Bryan won. So, you know, that was always one of my favorites. But this was a good one.
I like 31. Everybody kind of just underplays 31. I thought 31 was great.
Triple H thing.
Taker. Bray Wyatt, and then obviously Seth Rollins. But anyway, that's for another day. We'll be talking wrestling on one of these batter shows soon enough. But yeah, I just wanted to get you talks. I know you're into wrestling. But let's get into the sad stuff. Nashville SC. Yeah. Obviously, we've been saying it. They're our rivals. Obviously, we run into each other all the time. You guys made it to the Champions Cup. And I feel like since we last spoke, the wheels kind of fell off. And yeah. I'm not sure why. I was looking at the statistics, and I mentioned to you a little bit before we got on and started recording. Nashville, although they aren't an offensive juggernaut by any means, I was surprised at how bad they look statistically offensively. What could you tell us about Nashville so far this season?
Yeah, it's been a bizarre season because, like, outside of the LAFC game where they just completely smashed us 5-0. I mean, it was one of those where they went up 2-0 and it was like everybody's just, all right, we're done with this game. Let's move on type we're game. Cooked. But every other game of the season, we've been in them. We could have won. We've been up in, like, I think, like, at least like 3 out of the 4 matches that we've either drawn or lost. So we haven't found a way to, like, put a complete game together. We have these long stretches, like going back to, like, you know, the first leg in the cup against you guys where first half, we go up 2-0, could have been even 3 or 4-0, but we don't get those extra goals. We don't capitalize. We know we got to do that against a team like Miami that's going to get their goal at some point in time. Came back to bite us. We didn't get the goals we needed, you know, came back to bite us. And we've had that happen over and over again. Similar game, Columbus, we were up 2-1, but last, like, 85th minute, they score and make it 2-2. Last week, Philadelphia, we were up 1-0 or 2-1, and they came all the way back in the 90th minute and scored a winner. So we're throwing games away late with just, like, sloppy, uncharacteristic defensive mistakes. And when we're in control of games, we're not getting that last little bit of the attack where you take it from where you've got the possession, you're knocking on the door, but you're not finding that way to get into the box. You're not finding that way to actually create the scoring chances. Cause when we create them, we've got a pretty good, you know, track record of scoring. Like Sam Surge is coming good. Honey Mukhtar's got a couple, but we're not creating that final ball, that final opportunity enough when we are, you know, kind of having these moments of controlling game. It's been bizarre because, like, it's like every single game we could have won, but we just have found ways to lose over and over or find ways to draw, throw points away. But it's also like, I don't know how, like, you know, closely you looked at the games. We've had a pretty crazy stretch recently where we played like Columbus, LAFC,
yes,
Philadelphia, now you guys. I think like every team we've played so far in like regular season play is like in the playoff range. And even a team like Charlotte, I think that's like our one regular season win so far. They're 7th in the East right now. So they're like kind of overachieving a little bit. And that was the one game we won so far. And it's been a weird season. It's like, we just had a bye last week. You guys were talking about, like, it feels like it's been forever since you watched a game. Like, I feel like it's been like 2 months since Nashville SC played, just having one weekend off. So it's like, hopefully this is coming at the right time, or because we've had a lot of injuries. That's been a big part of it, obviously. But, you know, hopefully getting that bye, having that kind of reset point could be a turning point for us a little bit. But, you know, turning right around and coming up against you guys coming out of that's not the ideal situation either.
Well, and it's a weird place to be in because, I mean, Danny, I don't know if I could speak for you, but to see Nashville like at the bottom of the table, it just feels really weird. Like, there's been the combination of you've been playing some real big teams. And then not only that, but you had Mukhtar and Surge out for some games. So I don't see you guys sitting at the bottom of the table necessarily for a long time, but it's been tough sledding for sure. So that's where I could definitely see your point of view with that.
Well, like, I don't know if you heard us talking just a moment ago about Tata and how half the fan base is split on in and out. Gary Smith, I'm seeing a lot of Nashville talk, and a lot of people are tired of Gary Smith. Where do you sit on the Gary Smith train? For those of you who don't know, he is the head coach of Nashville SC at the moment.
So I'm not on the team Gary outside of things yet. I can understand people want that. I think, you know, I don't know if you guys have this in your fan base. I think because, you know, we're a new team, I think a lot of people who've, like, grown up being fans of, like, whatever, like, the big team in Europe that they jumped on the bandwagon for get used to the expectation level of, it's, you know, MLS. Chelsea, Manchester City, Real Madrid, different, you know, beats. Manchester United, Barcelona, where it's like, if you don't win the Champions League, you got to fire your coach. Like, it's, they seem like they have that quick trigger where it's like, you know, to me, it's like, we've made the playoffs every single season, with the exception of maybe like last year. It felt like every year we were kind of coming to the playoffs with a chance to maybe make a run, put some games together, you know, and that's the thing that makes MLS a little bit different than the European leagues as well, is that, you know, if you can get the playoffs and put a string of games together, you know, you could do anything. So, But I can see why people are frustrated because, like, the style of play has never been, even when we've done our best, it's always been a little on the defensive side, which is never going to be, like, you know, entertaining enough for some people. It's gotten us results over the years, but I think that's probably the extra fuel they're getting now is now the defense has gotten so sloppy that it's like, well, this is like the one thing this guy had to hang his hat on was that the defense was always solid, and it's, you know, now it's fallen apart a little bit. But at the same time, we've been missing Walker Zimmerman for the last like month and a half. So it's kind of like when you're losing the MLS Defensive Player of the Year two-time formally and like one of your designated players in that role, that's kind of a big deal. And I think it was a bigger deal than people realize, because there's even talk like amongst some of the fans in the summer, like, oh, should we look at buying Walker's contract down from a designated player so we could get like more somebody else in? It's like, I don't know if he's worthy of a designated player contract. And first time he's out for like a really elongated period of time in our history, and all of a sudden our defense is the worst it's ever been. So I mean, I think we can start to like make a little correlation there and put the pieces together on that one. But
I don't know how many center back DPs there are in the league, but they're not many. Like the MLS doesn't really invest too much money in the DPs that are center back. So I mean,
yeah, not too often.
Zimmerman's making that difference. No.
Yeah, he's probably earned himself like, you know, some money by not being on the field. One of those situations where our defense has been so bad since he's been out that you're kind of like, he's proven himself being out. But I would, you know, I'm not Gary out, but at the same time, like it's also like with the new franchise, and I don't know if you guys have this, it's like we really don't know yet what the motivation level of like our front office, of like our, you know, ownership is. Like, are they just dead set that we have to like be super successful and they're going to fire the coach if we're not, type of, or they like, you know, hey, we've made the playoffs, we're doing okay, we've shown consistency, we're happy that we don't know. Like, I mean, if it could be, it could go either way.
How long has
like,
Gary been there?
He's been with us since the start of MLS. He was with us with the USL version of the team for the two seasons.
Okay, so he's been there the whole time since he's been in MLS. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, we don't really know what like the where the breaking point is for the, you know, front office right now, because he's the only manager we've had. We've never got to the point of them feeling like, God, this is
on three already.
Of a manager. Yeah, I know. So it's like, but I think that was also, he's benefited from the fact that, you know, we came in with very low expectations. And I think people also, like some of the people that have turned on him also forget that like, we're not like some like all-star studded roster. Like, outside of like Zimmerman, I don't think anybody could have named a single player that was on our roster when we started. Like even Mukhtar, who's emerged, like people were always like, who's this guy that was like playing in the Swedish Premier League? Who's this guy or something like that? But so we've overachieved all this time. But now it's like, it's almost set the bar too high by overachieving, where now it's like coming back like, well, what's happening now? So I tend to think like the players haven't played that well this season, and it's not really as much Gary's fault. But at the same time, I think the thing that always comes back that always gets managers fired is, it's a lot easier to replace one manager than it is 23 players. So, you know, I don't think it'll happen anytime soon. I think he'll last, I don't know, unless the wheels just completely fall off. You know, if the wheels completely fall off and we just go on like a complete skid, I think because the season's so long and it's so weird in MLS where, you know, we're low bottom of the table right now, but we could be like sixth in 3 weeks if results go our way. Like, I think they'll give him time to kind of sort it out, work through some of the injury issues, kind of get on the other side of this weird start to the season with the Champions Cup, which like nobody apparently ever does well when they play in Champions Cup at the same time. So I think they'll give him time. And as long as it just doesn't completely fall apart, I think, you know, I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. You know, I think they'd rather get to through the season if they're going to make a change, making the offseason, because we're probably also at the point with our roster where I think we got a lot of older players in our roster too, and there could be like a big roster turnover coming after the season. So if you're going to be doing a lot of roster turnover, that feels like a good time to change the manager too, because, you know, get somebody in to help with that roster turnover, to like bring their ideas in. Whereas like, you know, you don't want the guy to have to play with like the last guy's players. You want him to be able to kind of pick some of his own players and stuff like that. So,
well, and it's kind of like what Tata just kind of went through, where he had essentially a lot of players that Neville picked out and wanted to play with, where he ended up saying, well, you know what, I'm going to have to just blow out all these other guys and then bring in the guys that I want. Now, you mentioned something very big about Zimmerman, because to me, Zimmerman, without playing, earns the money that he's getting at this very moment. I mean, the defense hasn't been playing that great recently, so right there speaks volumes. Now, somebody had mentioned in the chat a little earlier, is Zimmerman fit? Have you heard anything about what's going on with Walker Zimmerman? Have you heard that he's practicing or training or anything?
Yeah, so Gary's press conference today, he talked about some of our injured players and what their timeline is. And I think I've said to you guys before when we've talked about this stuff, I don't know how much I ever trust him when he's talking about injury players. He's got a little bit of that Belichick syndrome where he'll say one thing and who knows what's the truth. But what he said today was that Zimmerman and Shaq Moore, who's also been out the last couple of weeks, are both back in training. But he said they have a chance to play this weekend, but he would think next weekend would probably be more likely. But we had two other players that he said are back and he would expect to be available for selection. Randall Leal, who's like a ghost to us, like he's awesome when he plays, but I think it feels like he's played like two matches in the last 3 years because of injuries. And then Tyler Boyd, the guy we brought in from Galaxy, who had a good start to the season, then he got injured and missed the last like three or four games. So he said those two are back, and Zimmerman and Moore are probably not till next week. So if knowing Gary, that probably means Zimmerman and Moore are playing, and Leal and Boyd won't be back for like 3 weeks. So who knows? Yeah.
Danny, before you go to your point, I just want to mention something on the chat because Soccer Daddy's saying Jordy is out. So let's see if Tata brings back the 5-3-2. Now, this is a perfect comment by Stancy. We have Negri, guys. Let's chill.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know this. For those of you that have been watching Inter Miami before the Barca boys came, but Negri was like that guy playing left back. So we got some issues on our defensive line, too, Uncle Matt. But the good thing is that if we do have Jordi Alba out, we still have Franco Panko, who's going to be playing left back for us. So that's going to be good. So guys, those of you in the chat panicking, chill out. All right, Danny, go ahead.
Yeah, we're still expecting a 4-3-3 this week. Now, I was curious, Uncle Mad. You said that the defense has looked the worst that it has in a long time. But the last time we spoke, I know you said that Gary had said before the season that he wanted to try new things tactically so that you guys aren't just playing basically the counter and low block, counter, low block, counter. Now, I would assume that if that's what's been happening, that could contribute to the defense looking not as tight as it did in the past. Is that what's been happening? Did they change the formation or the tactics in which they play? Are you not playing the low block and just counting on the counter for the offense anymore?
We've definitely been playing like a higher line. We've been pushing further up the field. So there's been a couple goals. I think Philadelphia's first goal in the last game was kind of a transition goal where they kind of caught us out and we were a little disheveled and we weren't kind of sitting deep like we normally would. I think that was all of LA's goals were just they break and we're what the heck, we shouldn't have been that far up the field. But it's definitely been a little bit, hasn't been like drastically different or anything like that, but there's definitely been a couple goals that have probably come because we're playing higher up the line. And I think the biggest thing is just Zimmerman is an organizer. He's one of those players who, as good as he is, he makes the players around him also look better. So that's probably been as much of an issue as anything, is the guys don't know where to be without their cap, because he's the captain now, without him back there kind of being like, hey, shift here, hey, we're over here, without him kind of steering traffic, I think guys are kind of getting lost. So probably doesn't help when you're like trying to do things a little differently and you lose somebody like that's kind of the leader on the field that kind of helps everybody get organized and stuff like that. Because we got this guy, the biggest example of why I think Zimmerman's causes a drop off is we have a center back, Jack Maurer, who was like our first draft pick and like the first super draft that we're a part of. He's been first couple years, he was like our third, fourth center back kind of coming off the bench, but was always solid, was always reliable when he had to come in. And then last season we traded away the guy, Dave Romney, who'd been Zimmerman's pretty much locked in partner for most matches. First half of the season, Jack Maurer, Zimmerman, don't miss a beat, same kind of solid back line. I think early in the season we were one of like the better defenses. I think throughout most of the season we're one of the better defenses. And then around the time we traded for Lucas McNaughton, the most popular guy in Miami, he came in and he was kind of subbing in for Zimmerman when Zimmerman was going away on national team duty. But as the season went on and kind of towards the end of the League's Cup, like McNaughton had moved ahead of Jack Maurer. And I don't know if that was like a confidence killer to Maurer or whatever, but he's not been the same since. And this season, like, he's dropped down the pecking order where he's maybe, even with Zimmerman out, he's not starting games. And previously he was locked in number two at the start of last season. So his fall off to me, I think he was really enhanced by playing with Zimmerman. So he's the one I look at where I'm like, that's a guy who probably really benefited from playing Walker. And he's been the guy on a lot of the goals we've gone up the season where, you always find that guy when you see a goal go in, you turn around and there, who's the defender standing nearest to him going, oh man, that was my guy. What was I doing there? And it's been him a few too many times this season, but we've given up some like really like uncharacteristic, like weird, easy goals. Like I think on set pieces, especially, and that's another, place Zimmerman's usually really dominant, both on offense and defense, is just
100%
in there. And we've had like the winning goal against the Philadelphia scored the last game, just dude was just wide open the back post, no one anywhere near him. Easiest like finish you'll ever get as like a forward. Like probably it's like one he's probably gonna be like, did they not see me out there? I'm a pretty big guy. But we've had a lot of those where it's just like we're not like getting beat. Teams aren't really doing anything to like pull us apart. We're just those little mental lapses where somehow we get pulled inside and we leave the back post wide open and somebody scores right there. It's been weird. There's been a few things where maybe the tactics have cost us that, but it's just been more mental lapses. We've had a lot more mental lapses, which used to not be, you know, anything we'd ever see from our team. We were as solid defensively, and maybe some of that comes from the tactics, to your point. Maybe the fact that we're pushing further up the field, we're getting a little more stretched out, we're not as composed, not as compact as we used to be. Guys aren't as quick to get to the spots they used to get to. So the way I would describe the Nashville SC season so far is just bizarre. That'd be my go-to buzzword to describe the season.
Well, and we've been doing this song and dance already for quite some time with you guys now. Now, typically we know kind of what to expect, I guess. Really, really solid defense, working off the counter. But like now you guys kind of have it maybe a little bit the opposite, where the defense is kind of unhinged. And now that you have Surge back and Hani Mukhtar, maybe you guys have a little bit more of an offensive presence. What is it that you would, I guess, say is what to be expected for Saturday's match?
You know, if we kind of follow the trend of what we've been doing, we've been really trying to hit things wide. You know, you guys know Schoffelberg, who had a couple goals against you guys. He's been
good.
Yeah. He's been like the point of the, he's been almost like, we've almost been like playing everything through him. Like he's just been, we drive through him on the left. He uses his speed. We're crossing back in, trying to find Hani and Surridge. So he's kind of the, almost like the point guard of the attack. Point he's guard, almost yep. like a 10. He's like a 10 playing left wing because everything goes to him, because we're, and it kind of has to right now because the midfielders we have, they're solid defensively. They're good at like, you know, recycling play, resetting play, working with the back line. But we don't have anybody that can like find that extra pass from the middle through to break lines, you know, so we're kind of having to go wide because we don't have anybody that can pick out passes through the middle. We don't have that creative kind of playmaker in the center of midfield, so we have to go wide. So there's a lot going to Schaffelberg, and it's been particularly lopsided the last couple games because when we had Shaq Moore still healthy, a lot of it was going to him too because he's really good, you know, coming down the wings and attacking from right back. But with him out, we haven't had as much coming down the right side, so it's been very lopsided in terms of everything going down the left the last few games. So if we get Leal or Boyd back, you know, that's another, you know, dynamic, you know, attacking players that could change things up, could give us a little something different. But, you know, based on the guys that we've been playing recently, it's been kind of hold the fort down in the middle with the midfield as much as you can and then send everything through the left and then hope for the best from there.
Yeah.
Well, we have our new right back, Marcelo, or as they call him, Cello, way gone, which I think defensively looks much better than Yedlin was. So I feel pretty good with him on the defense. And then as far as the offense, Chris, you were just talking about how maybe they're looking better offensively. Now, I'll talk Eastern Conference first and then general MLS. In the Eastern Conference, they have the least amount of shots, the least amount of shots on target. And as far as XG goes, they are the worst as far as expected goals in the Eastern Conference. Now, when we talk about the league, they're second worst in shots on target, and third worst in expected goals. The only teams worse are Austin and Houston. So offensively, even if they are trying to be a little more aggressive, even if it's just a tad bit, it's not working out. So if their defense is suffering and the offense still hasn't picked up, I mean, it's obvious as to why they are struggling so far this season.
Well, I was thinking about how many games Surge and Hani Mukhtar missed, because it just felt like they missed a lot of games. I don't know if maybe I'm wrong by saying that, but I felt like they missed a little bit, about to half or maybe a little bit less than half. That makes a big difference, no?
Yeah, I want to say they missed the first two or three MLS Cup or league games, because even when they were coming back in, we were using them in the Champions Cup games and then kind of resting them in the weekends for the MLS game. So they've played the last two, maybe three games, but like the first little part of the league season, at least, they weren't playing. And I kind of mentioned it beforehand when we were talking before we went on the air. Like, one of the things to me that's the weirdest about our season, the weirdest about like one of the reasons I think we've had like the kind of deficiencies in attack, is we feel like we, to me, we, it feels like we have more possession than we used to have, because we used to be like one of those teams just like give the ball right back to their team. We want the other team to have the ball as much as possible because we just want to counterattack. Whereas we're having more possession, but it's like possession without purpose. Like I mentioned, we don't have that guy in midfield who can find that pass that gets through. So it's kind of like eventually we just hoop it up to Shuffleberg and hope he can find something. So you mentioned, I completely do not find it surprising at all that we're that low in shots and XG and all that, but I bet we'd probably be like one of the higher teams in the league in crosses, just because we're just like whoop, just whipping in the box, just and hope for the best for the most part this season. And one of the things that's kind of like been kind of surprising to me, and one of the things I thought maybe they could want to try to do, was like maybe drop Hani deeper into midfield or something like that, because he's just, there's been so many games this season where it feels like he's just not on the ball. And like, even, I know you want him further up the field where he can be more dangerous and score more goals, but there's been like,
if you stretches, can't get it to him, there's no point.
Yeah, there's been stretches this season where I'm almost like, is he even on the field? Because he goes these long stretches where we're not getting him service, he's not getting the ball. And like, he started his career with us as like more of a, like a true number 10, like playing out of the midfield, and we had more forwards up top. But when he started scoring all the goals, he morphed into like a false nine, and then he morphed into like a off striker where he's playing off a main striker. And so, but, and he even said this week, which was interesting to me, I this shows how my dumb brain works, is I'm sitting there thinking maybe we should drop him in the midfield just so we can get more touches and get on the ball more. And today he said he's hopeful with players like Randall Leal and Tyler Boyd coming back, he can play further up the pitch where he can be more damaging, and he, they can be the ones that get him more service up the time. So they're going, let's bring him in deeper. And he's sitting there going, I want to go higher. So me and Hani, not on the same page apparently, but I'll trust his judgment over mine. So, you know, that could be something, like I said, because like, we don't have that. We've got good players, like Schaffelberg's good, but I mean, he's kind of speed cross. That's his main, you know, he's, and he's added some goals, which is good, but I mean, our midfielders are kind of one-trick ponies. Our other, we got a lot of grinders, a lot of hard-working grinder guys, but we don't have those guys that can just pull something out of their, you know, butthole and make something out of nothing, really, outside of Hani. And there's nobody other than Hani to get him the ball right now. And Surridge, you know, he's good. He's been a revolution, but I mean, you can just see him. He's a traditional target striker, so he's not a guy that's going to make anything on his own. He's got to be he's got to have people set him up and create things for him. And him and Hani have kind of ended up being on an island because we don't have those creative players that you know, do something like that. And it's weird to say, like, the time when Dax McCarty, when we decided not to re-sign him and he went to Atlanta, I was kind of like, he's old, you know, he's had good, but he's not going to play every game, you know. But he would have given us a lot, even if he's only playing like three or four matches at a time, because he did have that. He might not have the legs to run coast to coast, but I mean, he can still pick out a pass. He can still ping the ball around. That's kind of what we're missing right now, is somebody that can do that in midfield.
Yeah.
Jordy's out for a couple weeks with a hamstring injury. I don't know exactly, but it is going to be a couple weeks. And then on the point you said, to look up the crosses, I can't find the crosses, the numbers of crosses, but I can see that they are not really counting on the midfield to build their attack. They have the fifth most accurate long balls in the league. So it looks like they're just looking for the forwards. Hani Mukhtar wants to push up because he wants to be on the receiving end of those, I'm assuming. Yeah. So fifth most in the league, in the entire league, as far as...
That's actually really good. Really good, accurately. So that's something that's...
So they're looking for the long ball. Out
for sure.
They're overlooking the midfield and went straight for the long ball. Mm-hmm. And you only have 9 offsides all season, so...
Pretty disciplined. I want to mention something that you be just to piggyback off the Jordi Alba comment. Guys, Jordi Alba plays like a beast. He's played a lot of minutes. Let him get some rest. Let him get some rest.
Uncle Matt is wearing the real cat.
Yeah, yes. I saw you got yours on, and I saw it on the thumbnail. I was like, I got to throw mine on if we're doing this today.
Hey, I had to create some type of rivalry shirt because I mean, like it. We've talked about the fact that we feel like this is the true rivalry, not Orlando, but you know. I hope you guys get better though, because it's a lot funner when both teams are good.
It is. I know. Yeah.
I hope we get better. And I did want to address one thing. Was it Mr. No, I lost the comment. But a lot of people saying that one way or another, Tata will figure out how to screw this up on Saturday. We've played 9 games. He's lost twice. We lost to the Red Bulls, who I believe are tied with us for leading the league in points. They're top of the table as far as the league goes. I mean, they're a good team. And honestly, they just out-hustled us that game. And then Montreal, that was the other game we lost. And it was 1-1. And then all of a sudden, they had that crazy run where they had like 2 goals in like 2 minutes, where it was just a blink of an eye. All of a sudden, just things just flipped upside down. But I mean, people are really getting on this whole hating on Tata thing. Like, he's not losing very often.
You guys must have like maybe some of your fans are like scarred from his time with like the Mexican national team, and they're just like still thinking of that Tata, not the Tata who was like one of the better coaches in MLS when he was with Atlanta. It's like a little bit of
exactly. And thank you, Chris, syndrome. For putting this up, because he said Tata sucked in Barcelona, Mexico, and into Miami. He's won more than he's lost here into Miami. He has a trophy in his first couple months. And then they said he had a good record with Argentina, Paraguay, and there's a team you're missing. He also had a very good record with Atlanta. He was there for two seasons. He won the MLS Cup in that second season. Tata, at least in MLS, he's been very good. So,
Hold your horses,
Tata,
guys.
I'm not saying Tata's the greatest thing and that I love Tata. It's not what I'm saying. But be patient, man. He's been around for less than a year. And he's won more than he's lost. So let's just be patient with him. Let's give him a couple more months. Give him a season.
To that point, that's another reason I haven't, turned the page on Gary Smith like a lot of our fan base has. Because like I said, he's got us in the playoffs, every season since we've been here. He won an MLS Cup when he was with Colorado. So I think a lot of it has to do with like people come from other fan bases to our newer teams. And they have the same kind of expectations, the same kind of mindset that you have with those teams. Whereas if you fire your manager in MLS, I hate to talk bad about MLS, but it's not like there's like a large crop of like brilliant high level managers that are just dying to get an MLS job. So like you're going to fire him and you're going to probably hire like some national team player or something like that. How many coaches we see recycle through MLS? Like, Phil Neville's already at Portland and Chris Armas somehow got a job after whatever he's done. And Caleb Porter's back in another one.
We're just going to get the same guy that was babysitting before Tata.
Javi Morales.
That's what would happen then, who else are you gonna get?
No, and I was gonna tell Uncle Matt that Gary Smith has gotten you guys to the playoffs consistently, but at some point you don't want Marvin Lewis either, because Marvin Lewis had the Bengals in the playoffs what, like 8-9 years in a row. At some point you got to switch it up, but I'm with you, maybe give him one more year, but at some point you have to switch it up, because when you just get there, but you aren't doing much, there has to be some type of change somewhere.
And Ty Manin is mentioning Danny Avramos comes to Inter Miami. Will you video you trying to get a photo and autograph with him? Oh, I can't wait for this answer.
No, absolutely not. Sergio Ramos, Uncle Matt, just so you know, Sergio Ramos is my favorite soccer player of all time. Him and Pio Valderrama, my two favorite soccer players of all time. And he's rumored that he might come this summer. I would love the idea. But also on this show, I've made it very clear that I don't understand why people run up to players and bother them and try to get autographs. And I would never do that. I won't do it for Messi. I won't do it for Sergio Ramos. You're never going to see that video from me. Now, if I was sitting down and just randomly having a conversation with him for whatever reason, I would love to take a picture with him, but I would never run him down and bother him to take a picture. No, absolutely not. Not happening.
Not going to do the pitch invasion and be one of those that run out of the field, like do the selfie.
No. Absolutely not. And I don't know. I can't do it. I don't know why people don't bother these people. Just let them be. Just let them be. But I do love Sergio Ramos, though. Favorite player of all time.
Yeah, we don't have anybody that's on the global scale that you guys do, but I think our team does a pretty good job of doing things where the players are available to meet fans and stuff like that, to where we don't have that. We had a big meet the team thing and they had the full roster there on Monday where you could go get autographs, get pictures made. And they had every single player was
there. They promised it to us this year and they didn't deliver, but they promised it to us this year and it never happened.
That's because they didn't have the Messi bubble ready, because nobody's getting near that guy.
Do it. Like last year, we did ours in July. So you guys might get it in Copa America when they have an excuse for him. Oh,
for Messi not to be there. Oh,
Messi's not here. Man, what the heck? Shoot, we forgot. Oh, man. That type of thing. Because we had one last year. And I think they learned from last year, because last year there was only eight players there and they had it really, it was really poorly organized. It was one of the worst events they've ever put on. And this year they had every single player there, even players I didn't even know were on the roster. I was like, who are you? It's nice to meet you. I'm glad you're here. Never heard of you. But yeah, so I can kind of understand why Miami might be I don't know if we can convince Messi to come to this little random event on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yes.
I don't know. My patience for standing in line, for any type of line. It could be food, yeah. I hate standing in lines. So I am anti standing in line to like.
We had it at one point here.
Yeah, I can't stand. But I was with my kids, so I took them to see Joseph and Campana. But man, I hate standing in lines, and even more just to get a picture with somebody. I'm not good at it. If my kids want to do it, I'll do it with them. But unless it's my kids,
outright.
I hate it. I hate standing in line for stuff.
It's awful.
All right, so. We've talked about Nashville so many times over the last year. We've had Uncle Matt on here a million times, but this is how we usually end our show. Mr. Matt, prediction time. We have the game on Saturday here in Miami. How are you feeling? You guys had a week off, so 2 weeks to rest and prepare. How are you feeling about this game on Saturday?
I think it goes one or two ways, like, because I could see it being very similar to like every other game we've played this season, where we keep it tight. You know, we have some good moments, we have some control in the game, but don't do enough, because you know it's one of the, especially against you guys. You know, you guys are going to get goals. You guys know you're going to get chances. Or I could honestly see it being very similar to LAFC, where like Suarez gets unmarked 2 minutes in, scores a goal, and all of a sudden everybody's heads drop and things just spiral. So I think it's going to be close. I don't. If we get a few more of our attacking guys back and can get a little spark there, that would obviously be helpful. But, you know, that's, you know, hopes and dreams. Based on what we've actually seen on the pitch so far this season, we're maybe good for, you know, 1-2 goals max a game. And that's going to be tough to cut it against Miami, who's probably, especially if Zimmerman's not back, or probably at least good for 3. So I'd probably go 3-2, 4-2 Miami, if I'm being honest.
Sounds good. I guess I can go next. I'll go with... Not 3-2. I'll go 3-1. I think people are expecting our offense and defense maybe to take a step back with Jordi Alba not there. But I honestly think that Franco Negri is going to fill in quite nicely. And I'm going to go 3-1 Miami. Chris?
I'm going to carry that torch with you, Danny. I think it's going to be 3-1 as well. Somebody had mentioned this. Mr. Krabs said 4-1 Miami wins and Nashville gets a goal in the 90th plus minute. That would be just awful.
That sucks. It sucks when you're like, oh, great game, clean sheet, and then you just give it up at the very end. I mean,
I think the only way that happens is if it's a penalty, because that's kind of been what's killed us this season. Is like the last 15 minutes, we just seem to be just like running on fumes, and teams, that's when teams seemed like, I don't know if like teams are like saving it for the last 15 minutes against us or what, but like Columbus, Philadelphia, what was the other one? There's another match where we gave up a stupid late goal, like, multiple matches. Miami the first time, it's like second half, that's where we seem to run out of steam. So like, unless it's like a penalty, which that's what we had, that against Colorado, where we had like a crazy handball and like the last kick of the ball, it's like, yeah, we'll take a penalty to get a 1-1 draw in Colorado.
You guys have played less games than most teams, and you guys are top of the league in goals and penalty kicks conceded. You've conceded a penalty in half your games almost.
That sounds about right.
You might want to add one on there, because you know either Messi or Luis Suarez is going to get a PK call.
Yep. Yeah. For sure.
I want to bring up this comment by the best name of all time, Minge Muncher 88, right? Is predicting a hot take 99-0 calendar double hattie. I mean, I don't know what stuff you're smoking, but go ahead and send it to my P.O. box.
All right, and then we have Leonardo Fernandez just made the trip. Leonardo, where are you from? He said he just got to Miami yesterday. He'll be at the game for sure. If you see us, let us know.
I'll be out there.
Where's section 116? Section 116 is at the east. It's the east.
He's in. Section 116 is over on the. It's over on the east side.
All right. Well, we're always in the yellow.
Like in the east, northeast.
Wherever the food trucks are, that's where we're usually at. So for sure. I would love to meet you guys. All right. Uncle, you know that we asked some silly questions at the very end, but you've seen them all because you've been here so many times. But I do think that we do have one question that you haven't gotten yet. And me and Chris were actually talking about this morning, about which way we think you'll go with this question. So we're going to put it up right now. So we randomly got on this topic. I don't know how, but we got on this topic just a couple weeks ago. And we decided we were going to add it to our... It's going to be me. So we want to know, if you had to choose, and you have to choose one, gun to your head, are you going NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
Man, that is. I think I got to go Backstreet Boys. I've probably seen it saying.
There we go.
I've had a few belters of. Where is it? More like sing along song of the two bands. Like, I think, like,
sure.
NSYNC felt bigger back then, but like, it seems like Backstreet Boys, the songs have hung around more. Like, that those songs still pop up all the time.
Well, the
only way I choose NSYNC is if you're choosing Justin Timberlake. You're not choosing NSYNC, you're choosing Justin Timberlake. The Backstreet Boys as a group were better than NSYNC as a group. I'm telling you, Chris.
That's not fair. I mean, you guys got a bunch of Steve Kerrs on your team.
I think that every time we do this, Trukutu points out Hanson. I think we Trukutu is for sure a Hanson lover.
For sure. Hanson, I mean, had just that one hair.
Was it?
We need to be careful before we get copyrighted.
I know, man. They copyrighted us for everything.
This is a perfect fucking comment by Maris Yahoo. NC came along and destroyed the Backstreet Boys. Keeping it
Think NSYNC came and destroyed that genre, and all of a sudden it disappeared because the Backstreet Boys were killing it for a year or two, and then NSYNC came and ended that. And by the way, I think Eminem killed the boy band thing when he started insulting them. Mm-hmm. All right. Uncle Matt, as always, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. You are awesome. Everybody in the chat always enjoys you. So they get once we know that Nashville's coming along, they're like, Uncle Matt, right? We're like, absolutely. So, and then we'll probably see you again in like 6 weeks or so, 5-6 weeks when we play you guys again. So we'll be looking forward to that. And for anybody that's watching this that hasn't watched you before, which I doubt it, but just in case, let everybody know where they can find you.
I've got a YouTube channel, do like game day vlogs and just a bunch of random other stuff, but it's Uncle Mad on YouTube, 2Ds and Mad. Twitter, X, Instagram, same thing. There's probably an underscore on one of those, but it's always Uncle Mad with 2Ds is the easiest way to find it. So I'm out there. I'm doing stuff.
You got to make it out to Miami for one of these games.
I think I'm going to do it once the new stadium comes. I want to see that new, like, that's going to be like the draw is coming down there for the new stadium. Once that gets open, I'm going to have to figure out a way to get down there.
I'm going to have to figure out a way to get in there also because it's going to be expensive as hell.
That's the other part of it. It's like, I'll start saving for that trip now.
For sure. All right. And they're asking Uncle. Oh, I thought that was a shopping cart. He said Uncle Mad Goat guest. I thought he was asking the shopping cart. Nah. Just in case you guys know, he's not a cart pusher or puller. He's a basket holder. For those of you that weren't here for the last time. All right, Chris, any final words?
I just want to mention one thing just for Stancy. Because Stancy made a really good comment here. No, step by step. And I was just listening to that song this morning. What? NKOTB? New Kids on the Block.
Oh, New Kids on the Block. Okay.
Donnie Wahlberg, baby.
We're just getting lazy and not writing things out. Okay, I understand.
But no, that's what they were called when they were on the come up.
No way. Yeah. They just used the letters?
Yeah, that's like what was on their album art.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't even know what to say to that. That was before my time.
Look at this.
All right. I'm more of a Boys to Men kind of person. All right. Yeah, if you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5 stars, comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you are watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. If you are bored tonight, at 9 o'clock, we're going live with the Battered Marlins Fans podcast. If you are bored at 10 o'clock and you want to hear some Miami Heat talk, we're going live with the Battered Heat Fans podcast. So we'll be talking for the rest of the night. And if you guys want to join us, like I said, just type in to the YouTube search bar, Battered Marlins Fans, Battered Heat Fans, and we'll be up there talking in a couple minutes. So we appreciate you guys taking the time. As always, the chat, you guys are the best part of the show. We appreciate you joining us. And Los Nikis, that's how los we call them.
Los Nukis.
Oh, Los Nukis. Los Nukis on the blocks. Oh, okay. I don't know. All right. We appreciate you guys. So we'll be back
show for support,
the game on Saturday. Until the next one, have a good one.